участники. Good morning, Ascend Church. How are you guys doing? I'm Francesca. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Why don't you guys stand to your feet? Let's get ready for worship.
Sun sets free, oh, it's free. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
Church, do you believe that this morning? Come on, we are children of God. He has not left us. We are chosen. We're not forsaken. Come on, do you believe that? Come on, let's declare that. Let's sing it out. I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who
you say. Come on, you sing. Thankful for Jesus this morning. Come on, let's keep singing together.
Oh, the overwhelming name. Into our lives. Amen. There's nothing that compares to that. And you know, family, at this time in the service, what we do is we take a moment to pray over anyone who has a need. If you have something in your life that you need the Lord's help with, you know, I love the example Jesus set, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when we read through the Bible and we see what Jesus did when he encountered people, then we see what the heart of God is for people. And he wants to touch our lives and meet our needs and answer our prayers. And so at this time of the service, we have one more song that we're going to sing, but we're going to have a prayer team that will line up right here. And they are full of faith. They want to believe God with you. We believe the word. When God said, call upon me, I will answer you. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it to you, for you. He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so if there's any need in your life, whether it's physical healing, whether it's emotional distress, whether it's financial need, or whether it's a family relationship situation, whatever it is, the Lord wants to help you. That's the love of God reaching out to us. Amen. And so we're going to give you an opportunity as we sing this last worship song for you to just step out of where you are. And while we're singing, you can just come forward and someone will agree and pray with you and believe God for the circumstances to change. Amen. We're going to do that.
You know, we're glad to have our daughter-in-law Francesca leading worship today. Francesca and my son Luke live down in Miami because my son's the worship leader at VU Church in Miami. And so Leslie, who usually leads, she had to go to a wedding today. So I asked Francesca if she would help us out. And I want to just say thank you. She left at 6:30 this morning to be here for rehearsal at 8. And they've got two little kids. Roman, my grandson, he's just turned 3. And Olivia is 7 months old now. So how many of you know what it's like having a 7-month-old and a 3-year-old? And so thank you so much, Francesca, for coming and helping us out. We love you so much. And we're so proud of Luke and Francesca and what God is doing in their life. In fact, my son Luke is preaching at VU Church today. 5 services, right? I'm only preaching one time. He's preaching 5 times. He's younger than me though, right? Well, listen, I want to encourage you. If you need prayer, like my wife said, please, I want you to know God loves you. We love you. There's no reason to feel embarrassed or shy. Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer. And let me tell you, this is the place to come to call on the Lord. He said, if you call on me, I'll answer you. Do you know, very often it amazes me that people have all these kind of needs and challenges and difficulties in their life, and yet when we call for prayer, they don't come forward. They're like, no, I think I'll hang on a little bit longer. You know, did you ever hear the story when Moses went to Pharaoh, when the plagues came on Israel? And remember that the one of the plagues was frogs. Does anyone remember this? There were frogs all over the land. Everywhere you looked, there was frogs. Remember the story? And so Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, when do you want the frogs to leave? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Wouldn't you want them to leave today? You mean you want one more day with the frogs? And that's how sometimes I feel with prayer. That people are standing there. You want one more day with that problem? You want one more week with it? No, man, give it to God. Call on Him. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to meet every need. Whatever it is, I want to ask our prayer partners. These are people in our church who know how to pray. If you need prayer, don't be shy. As we sing, come right now. They'll pray for you. And we're going to sing this last song, and it's called What a Beautiful Name. And how many of you know that there's no name like the name of Jesus? How many of you know that His name is above every other name? How many of you know the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord? How many of you know that's true? Well, listen, I want to encourage you today. Don't let somebody else do your singing. Don't let somebody else praise God for you. The Bible says that if we don't give God praise, Jesus said, the rocks will cry out and praise me. Now, I don't know about you, I don't want a rock praising God in my place. No stones praising God in my place. I want to encourage you this morning to sing with us. You're not singing to me. You're not singing to Francesca. You're singing to the Lord today. Let's declare it. What a beautiful name. The words are on the screen. Sing with us. Worship God with us. Amen.
You are the Word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord Most High. You hidden. Jesus, you brought heaven.
declare this together.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
Oh, come on, do you believe?
I can see you believe what it is you're singing. Amen. Well, family, won't you just take a moment, 60 seconds, just find someone you don't know, say hi, tell them it's good to see them.
I have an accompaniment with me today. Wish I could sing like these ladies can sing. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad to see you this morning. You look good. Praise God. Welcome to those that are watching on our app, watching on Facebook. We're glad that you are part of the service. We always have at least twice as many people watching online that we have right here. So you're very much a part of the service. We're glad you've joined us. And we're so glad to be in church today. Amen. It's a place, you know, I've found through all my years of going into church, doesn't matter how you come in, you may come in with a load on your shoulders, you may come in with a lot on your mind, you may come in discouraged, but something about being in the presence of God and around other believers just lifts you up, right? And it's good to be here with you today. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors. You know, our church is called Ascend Church, and ascend means to elevate.
or to go up or to progress. And that's really our desire, is to see our lives elevated, right? For us to know God better, right? That's one of our purposes, is to know God. It's to find freedom in every area of our life, to discover our purpose, and to make a difference with our lives. Amen? And so we pray that that's our prayer for you today, that something you receive here today will elevate your life, will elevate your thinking, will elevate your faith. I know what Pastor Steve's going to preach on today, and your faith is going to be strengthened and built up. Amen? But I especially want to welcome anyone visiting for the first time. We don't want to embarrass you in any way, but what we like to do is just hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone, God bless you. Welcome, welcome. So good to see you today. We really love having visitors in our church. Just make sure an usher sees you. Just lift your hand until one of the ushers see you. Thank you. In that pack is a couple of things. One is a CD from Pastor Steve, and it'll be a faith-building, encouraging message. So if you still own a CD player... We don't even have any CD. Even our computers now don't even have a CD-ROM, right? So you kind of got to go searching. But if you can listen to that, we hope that it'll be encouraging and uplifting to you. And there's a white card that says guest. We ask you to just take a moment, fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket. Just drop it in. It gives us the opportunity to give you a call. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. But we're very glad to have you with us today. Amen. We're ready for the word, right? Yes, we are.
All right. Are you going to bring me a battery, Dan? Just wave at me. Bring me a battery. I was just thinking about years ago. Does anyone remember cassette tapes? Hey, how about reel to reel? No, listen. I remember cassette tapes because I used to listen to preaching. I used to listen to sermons on cassette. And so what I did is, one time I went to stay at Pastor Theo's house, my pastor, and he had like 4,000 cassettes preaching, and he had them all in racks in his study. He'd been given all these from all over the world. Thank you. And so I asked him if I could make a copy. I asked him if I could make a copy, and he said, okay. So it took me a little while, but I made copies of all that. Pastor Fred Price from Crenshaw Center in L.A., I copy all his, and then Kenneth Hagin. I ended up with thousands, and then I made racks for my wall that fitted, and I had like 3,000 teaching tapes all over my garage. Well, how many of you know you don't need 3,000 teaching tapes now? All I need now is my phone. I just go on my phone. I can listen just about any preaching on my phone, right? Can you say technology? The age of technology. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Father, we thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we welcome you and we honor you. And Lord, I make it known today that I'm looking to you. We're looking to you, Lord Jesus. I'm looking to you to help me, to anoint me, Lord. I trust that you will bring understanding and you will bring revelation to every heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for strengthening and encouraging each and every one of us, Father. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What's happening? All right, grab that. We'll get it later. There we go. I'll be okay for today. Now this morning, tell your neighbor, are you ready? Are you ready for God's word today? Because today I want to speak about the faith fight. The faith fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, the Bible talks about fighting the fight of faith. And let me tell you that if you are going to lay hold of the promises of God, and if you're going to become everything God has created that you would be, you have to fight. You have to know how to fight this fight of faith, because the promises of God will not fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. You have to contend in faith for God's promises. There is a fight to faith. Can you say amen? Now, here's the thing. When I talk about faith, I'm talking about having faith in God and having faith in the Word of God. And Jesus said that if you have faith, there's nothing impossible. He said all things are possible to him who has faith. You see, when you have faith in God, there's nothing that God cannot do for you. And there is a promise in the Word of God that covers whatever you're facing, whatever problem you're facing. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm facing this situation, I don't know what to do. There is a promise in God's Word for every problem you'll ever have in your life. And when you take faith and you apply faith and you believe the promise of God, that's what causes it to become a reality in your life. You see, the only way that we ever will be victorious over the enemy is through faith. We have an enemy. And he's challenging our faith. And the Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In other words, it is our faith that enables us to gain the victory. Faith is what gives you the victory. It's what enables you to overcome whatever it is that you're facing. In fact, the New Living Translation, now when I quote scripture, very often I'll quote, I'll give you a few different translations because sometimes it just gives you a little more insight if you read it in different translations. Like the New Living Translation says, we achieve this victory through our faith. The way that you achieve victory in your life is through your faith. That the Passion Bible says, our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. It is your faith that is going to enable you to triumph. That's why the Apostle Paul told us to fight the good fight of faith. Because faith is essential if we want to walk in victory. Faith is what overcomes the enemy. Faith is what activates God's power. Faith is what moves God to act on your behalf. Faith is what receives from God. Faith is what takes hold of God's promises and causes them to become a reality in your life. Without faith, you can't receive anything from God. That's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. It must be in faith that he asks. Here's the requirement. You can ask God for whatever you need, whether it be wisdom, whether it be healing, whether it be a financial need, whatever it is, you can ask God. He said ask, but be sure you got to ask in faith with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, who hesitates, who doubts is like the billowing surge of the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. It says, truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything that he asks for from the Lord. The Bible says we mustn't imagine that we'll receive anything from God if we don't ask him with faith. But if we ask God with faith, there's nothing that he cannot do. Are you still with me? Faith is how you receive God's promises. Without faith, we can't receive anything from the Lord. That's what the scripture says. We can't expect to receive anything from God without faith. So we need to know how to win and how to fight this fight of faith. That's really what the enemy is trying to rob you of your faith. Whatever has come against you, whatever difficulty, ultimately, the enemy's trying to rob you of your faith. He's trying to get you to stop believing God, stop believing God's word. You see, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. Your faith will be challenged through circumstances, through people. The enemy's going to try and challenge your faith. I was talking to a businessman in our church last Sunday out in the lobby, and he was telling me about this big business deal that he'd been given recently, or that he'd gotten, and he was telling me about the challenges and the difficulties that he was facing in this deal that he was doing. It was a big contract, one of the biggest contracts he ever received before, and it came to him in December last year after he gave a big offering. He gave a big offering to our building fund, and the next week, this huge contract, it was the biggest contract that he'd ever had in 40 years of his business, and it was this huge contract. But he said, Pastor Steve, I'm just having so much, it's like so much has come against me, there's things going wrong. And I said to him, you're in a fight of faith. I said, don't give up, keep trusting God, keep believing God, because God gave this to you. The enemy's trying to challenge you, he's trying to rob you of your faith. Are you with me? I know myself. I've been the last 2 years, I've been in a fight of faith. I mean, getting in this building was a fight of faith. How many of you know there was a fight of faith to get in this building? And, you know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, a minister friend of mine, and I said that I wouldn't say his name, but he travels the world speaking to big. If I said his name, many of you would know him, but he told me this. He said, for the past 2 years, he said, I've been in the greatest faith fight of my life. And he told me some of the things, some of the battles that he's been through in the past 2 years. Now, this person, this man I'm talking to, has been a Christian for probably 50 years. And has been traveling the world and preaching to thousands. They were in Paris last week. They had 500 people gave their lives to Christ last week in one service with this where he was. And so God's doing great things. But he said to me, he said, you know, it's been so challenging the past 2 years. He said, it's the most challenging time I've ever faced in my life, financially and physically. And, you know, he said, before I went full-time in the ministry, before I went traveling around preaching, I was a realtor. He was a realtor for 40 years. And then God called him into the ministry. And he said he continued to sell property on the side, even while he would travel and speak, if he had any free time, you know, because he'd been doing it for so long. He continued to sell property because it helped him to supplement, you know, his income, because a lot of places he went to minister, they didn't even cover his expenses. And so he was still sell real estate. And before he went full-time in the ministry, he was very successful in real estate. He would make at least between $500,000 and $1 million a year. That's what he made for years. And then when he started traveling and preaching, he didn't have the same time to devote to real estate. But he said, I still made at least $250,000 a year just doing it part-time on the side. He said, but for the last 2 years, he said, I haven't made one penny of real estate. He said, my income dropped from $250,000 a year in real estate, dropped to zero the last 2 years. And not only that, move on for me, please. Not only that, but he had some real challenges in his health. He said both his parents passed away a year ago, and he spent a whole year wrapping up their estate and fixing their house so that he could sell it, because the house really needed, it took him a year to get the house fixed up and so that he could sell the house. And then some of his family got upset and they wanted to contest the will, and there was all this drama, all this legal stuff. And finally, the family accepted the fact that there wasn't any money and everything was settled. But then he said he had 7 different health issues. Now, you could understand that the friend I'm talking about, he's a health fanatic. I mean, I've never seen anybody who is a health fanatic. He's never drunk coffee in his life. He's never had a soda. He's never had a fast food. He's never had a French fry. I mean, he won't put a wrong food in his mouth. He'd rather not eat. But yet, he said, for the last 2 years, I've had 7 different health issues. It's been a spiritual attack of the enemy. He said, first I got a hernia in my groin, and it's very painful. And then he said, I started having stomach trouble. And I went to the doctor, and they said that my lymph gland wasn't working. And so they sent me to a specialist, and he ran some tests, and he put me on this machine. It vibrates. It tries to stimulate your lymph glands. And the machine, he didn't know, but it was set to high, and it shook him so bad that day when he went home, his third health challenge occurred because the vibrations caused the vitreous gel membrane in his eye to droop. It's like a curtain behind your eye that lets, and when it droops, it like a curtain drops down, it lets in light. And so he said he started seeing lightning flashes and black dots in that eye, and it went on for 1 year. It didn't stop. He went to an eye specialist. They said, there's nothing we can do. It cannot be repaired. And not only did he have the lightning flashes and the black dots, but then it caused nausea and dizziness. So he'd be nauseous and dizzy. He's traveling all over. He didn't change his schedule. He kept on all his commitments, kept on preaching. He's got seeing lightning bolts, seeing black dots. He's nauseous. He's got a hernia. He's got stomach trouble. And then he woke up one day and he had 20 boils on his face. The doctors couldn't tell. They didn't know why, where it came from. For 3 months, he traveled the world preaching with boils all over his face. He said it looked absolutely hideous. It lasted 3 months. Then he started having this phlegm and coughing every morning, every night, like a lifelong smoker. You know, just every morning he'd get up. He never smoked a day in his life. And then he said, for 2 years I've been in this fight of faith. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, every day I'm just standing on the Word of God, and I'm confessing the Word of God, and I'm praying, and I'm believing God. I'm standing on God's promises every single day. Praise God, his victory is in sight. Because he told me, he says, Steve, the finances have turned around, praise God. He said, I'm 90% healed in my body. His eye, which they said would never, ever be able to be repaired, is 90% healed. The flashing and the spots have all gone away. The nausea has gone away. The dizziness has all gone away. Yeah, I told you, he just got back from Paris. They preached to two of the largest churches in Paris. They had over 5,000 people at one place. 500 people gave their life to Christ. Now, when my friend told me about the things that he went through, it encouraged me. Not because he went through it, but it encouraged me because I realized that I'm not the only one that's been going through a faith fight. I'm not the only one that the enemy is trying to rob him of his faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through, as if something strange was happening to you. Don't be surprised when you have fiery trials. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world. The Bible says, don't be surprised when you have fiery trials, when you have difficulties, when you have opposition. Don't be surprised. In fact, the Passion Bible says it like this. It says, beloved friends, if life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered as though something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice, for in a measure you have shared in the sufferings of the Anointed One, so that you can share in the revelation of his glory and celebrate with even greater gladness. Now, the Bible says, don't think it's strange when you face trouble. Everybody faces challenges to their faith. I guarantee you, everybody sitting in here today, there's something that is challenging them. And I want to encourage you today to don't stop believing God. Don't give up on the fight of faith. Your victory is on the way. The Bible says, amen. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 8, the scripture tells us, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. It says, take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith, for you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of trouble that you endure. The Bible says that the enemy comes against us. He goes around looking who he can devour. But if you will resist him, steadfast in your faith, that he won't be able to devour you. Amen. That's what it's telling us. Your faith is going to be challenged. Your brothers and sisters experience the same things. A faith challenge or a faith fight occurs when you are believing God for something. And the enemy comes to challenge you, telling you, you can't have it. You can't have what you're believing for. He comes to tell you, it's never going to happen. He'll try and stop it from happening. If you don't know how to fight the fight of faith, let me tell you, the enemy can get the better of you. Because the devil is a master of discouragement and deceit. He'll try and discourage you when you believe in God. He'll try and discourage you. He'll try and deceive you into thinking your faith isn't working. I'm telling you, I've had times where I felt like, Lord, did you abandon me? Lord, did you leave me? Do you know that David felt like that? Do you know there were times when David said, Lord, did you leave me? Did you abandon me? But thank God, God never, Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. The enemy will try and convince you God's not going to come through for you. God's abandoned you. Let me tell you, if you want to be victorious in this fight of faith, you got to know how to fight the fight of faith. And I want to share with you 7 things to do, how to win the fight of faith. Are you ready for this? Number one, first thing you got to do, you got to understand, if you're going to win the fight of faith, faith focuses on God's word. Faith keeps looking at what God's word says. If you're going to win the fight of faith, you've got to focus your attention on the promises of God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. The more you hear God's word, the stronger your faith will be. As you are sitting here today, you may not realize it, but your faith in God is being strengthened because of the word of God that I'm sharing with you this morning. And if you want to stay strong in faith, you've got to continually feed your faith and build your faith up with the word of God, because God's word is what keeps your faith strong. So the more you hear God's word, the stronger your faith is going to be. You can't have strong faith if you don't hear and if you don't know God's word. So you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be listening to faith-building sermons. You can do that. With one way you can do it is if you get our mobile app, the Ascend Church mobile app, you can listen to all these sermons, watch them on your phone. You know, you don't have to wait till Sunday to hear God's word. You should be feeding your faith on the word of God every day. Can you say every day? Because faith keeps looking at and it keeps focusing on what God says. Faith doesn't look at what the circumstances say. Faith looks at the unseen promises of God. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 18, it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The New Living Translation says it like this. It says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. We rather fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we can see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, one more translation, the Passion. It says, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, we don't look at and focus our attention on the things we see with these eyes. But we keep our eyes of faith on the unseen promises of God's word. And we look with our eyes of faith to what God says. We don't focus on what it looks like around us. We don't let that affect us. We keep believing that what God said is true. Are you with me? In fact, the Amplified version of that, go back to the Amplified version of that verse. It says, since we consider and look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not, are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, and the things that are invisible are everlasting. In other words, the things you see with these eyes, they can change. But the promise, Jesus said, my word will never change. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never change. God's promises are eternal. They never change. But your circumstances are just temporary. And God says, don't focus on the things that you see with these eyes, or the things you perceive with your 5 physical senses. It doesn't mean we deny that those things that we see exist. We just don't focus on them. We just simply ignore them. We don't let them influence our faith. Because if you're going to win the fight of faith, you've got to be willing to ignore what your senses are telling you and believe what God's word says. In other words, what do I mean? The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can either focus on that, or you can focus on what your bank account says. Your bank account says you don't have enough money, but God's word says he'll meet all your needs. I choose to focus on what God says, because God can change my bank account. He's done it many, many times. Are you listening to me today? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, when you walk by faith, you can't focus on the things you see with these eyes. Now, this isn't just talking. When the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, that's not just limited to your visual perception. That's one of your five senses. I believe it's talking about sensory perception. In other words, we walk by faith, not by what we see. We walk by faith, not by what we hear. We walk by faith, not by what we feel. We walk by faith, not by what we smell. We walk by faith, not by what our senses tell us. If our senses are telling us something different than what God says, then I ignore what my senses say and I keep on believing what God says. That's called faith. And if you're going to walk by faith, you can't let what your senses are telling you affect your faith. Many people's faith is hindered because they look and focus on what they see and what they hear and what they feel instead of acting on God's word in faith, believing what God says. Anytime you look to your senses above the word of God, you will lose the faith fight. If you want to win this fight of faith, you can't be swayed by how things look. You've got to keep focusing on what God says, on his promises. That's what Abraham did. Abraham is called the father of our faith. And God promised Abraham that he was going to make him a great nation, that he was going to have many children. And Abraham didn't have any children, and he was 99 years old. And his wife, Sarah, she couldn't have children. She was barren. She couldn't have children. So what God told Abraham was physically impossible. At 99, if you're 99 years old and your wife cannot have children, how many of you know that is impossible? Would you agree with that? But God said to Abraham, I have made you. In Romans 4, verse 19, God said, I've made you the father of many nations. The Bible says, not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body. He didn't focus on what his body was telling him, because it says his body was already dead, not literally, but he was about 100 years old. He didn't focus on the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't put his attention on that. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and he was fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Abraham was convinced, if God said it, I don't know how it can happen, but I'm going to believe what God said instead of believing what my body's telling me. Does that make sense to you? The Passion Bible says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He didn't let the fact that they were incapable of conceiving a child, or he was almost 100, he didn't let that stop him from believing what God said. It said he never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith. Abraham's called the father of our faith. You know why he was strong in faith? Because Abraham did not consider what his body said. He rather focused and kept believing what God's word said, even though he didn't see how it could happen. He chose to believe that God was able to do what he said. If you're going to win this faith fight, family, you can't be moved by how things look. You've got to keep on believing, keep on standing on what the word of God says. When Peter walked on the water, the Bible says Peter saw Jesus walking on the water one night, and he said, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come on the water. And Jesus said, come on. And what happened? The Bible says in Matthew 14, Peter went over the side of the boat, and he walked on the water toward Jesus. It says, but when he looked at the, what did he look at? Come on, when he looked at those high waves, he was terrified. He started sinking. He said, save me, Lord. Jesus instantly reached out his hand, rescued him. He said, oh man of little faith, why did you doubt me? You see what happened? Peter took his focus off Jesus and what Jesus said, and he started to look at the waves. He started to look at the circumstance, and that caused him to sink. How many of you know it doesn't make any difference how high the waves are? You can't walk on the water when it's calm. How many of you know that the size of the waves got nothing to do with walking on water? But you see, Peter, Jesus said, come. That should be it, man. Jesus said, come, I'm going. But he looked at the waves, and that's when he started doubting and sinking. His faith was challenged by what his eyes told him, by what his senses told him, and he allowed it to steal his focus. And the Bible says that Jesus called that little faith. He said, what little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win? Peter, why did you let doubt win? You know why he let doubt win? Because he got his eyes off of what Jesus said, and he got his eyes on how it looked around him. You see, If you want to win this fight of faith, you've got to keep your eyes on what God says. If you look at your circumstance, instead of keeping focused on the word of God, you'll start sinking. The Bible says Abraham had strong faith. You know why? Because he didn't allow what his body looked like. I mean, you look in the mirror and you're 100. Now, I'm only 55. And I'm still like, I don't look like I did at 25, 35. Imagine 100. But he didn't let it move him. He said, if God said it, then I believe God can do what he said. Amen. And that's why he had strong faith. Little faith is moved by what it sees, moved by what it feels. Weak faith considers the challenges and the adversity to be bigger than what God is. Weak faith considers what the senses say and what the circumstances say. But when you operate in strong faith, you've learned to consider not. Great faith believes God's word, like the Roman centurion who came to Jesus, and he was pleading with Jesus to come and heal his servant. His servant was at home, paralyzed and in terrible pain. And in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but just speak a word. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And the Bible, he said, I'm a man under authority. I'm also a man under authority. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. Another one, come, and he comes. And my servant, do this, and he does it. And the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who were following, assuredly, I say to you, I haven't found such great faith, not even in Israel. Why did Jesus say this man had such great faith, such strong faith? Because all he needed was God's word. He said, Jesus, you just say the word and my servant will be healed. He said, man, I've never found such strong faith in Israel. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. What is great faith? Great faith is when you believe God's word, no matter how things look. If you're going to win this fight of faith, you've got to keep your faith strong. You've got to keep your focus on the word of God, not focused on the problem. And the second thing you've got to do if you're going to win the fight of faith is you've got to realize that faith speaks. You've got to speak your faith out. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures. When it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith, so we also first believe and then we speak in faith. The Bible says we got the same spirit of faith that God has, the same spirit of faith that Abraham has. We got the same spirit of faith. What is the spirit of faith? It's I believe, and therefore I spoke. See, that's how faith works. You've got to believe in your heart, and you've got to say with your mouth what you believe. In Romans 10, in verse 10, the Bible tells us, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes, with the mouth confession is made unto. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto. You see, you've got to speak out what you are believing for. You've got to speak your faith out. Romans 4, verse 17 says this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. The Bible says God calls the things that do not exist as though they did. God speaks into being. That's how God created the world. He said, light be, and light was. Do you know we've got the same spirit of faith? We too must call things into being. Faith calls things that be not as though they are. We must speak out God's promises. In other words, when the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, we have got to say, Lord, I believe you're supplying all my needs. And we've got to say, my God supplies all my needs. See, when you speak out God's promise, that's how you are. You're speaking your faith out. And faith's confession creates realities. If you confess weakness and failure and sickness, you'll destroy your faith. Jesus spoke about how powerful our words are. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain and you believe that what you say will be done, you will have whatever you say, whether it's good or whether it's bad. He said, you will have what you say. I want to encourage you. Don't speak about your mountain. Don't speak about the problem. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. So many times people, they talk about the mountain. Oh, let me tell you about my problem. Oh, let me tell you. And they tell you 10 minutes all about the problem. You should be speaking in faith to that mountain. Are you with me? Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. A lot of people don't realize that they've been trapped by their own words. See, if you say, I'll never be able to do that, you just put yourself in a trap. You just said, I'll never do it. You just spoke out in faith. And you really, you cursed. That's a trap. Proverbs 12 verse 6 says, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. I don't know about you. I'd rather have my mouth deliver me than my mouth put me in a trap. Your mouth can deliver you or your mouth can ensnare you. All depends on what you choose to say. If you speak the promises of God, my God supplies all my needs. That's what God's word says. Or you can say, I never have enough. It doesn't matter how hard I work. I never have enough. I never seem to get ahead. You're trapping yourself with your own words. Are you following with me, family? Our confessions rule our life. It's so important that you speak your faith and that you confess the promises of God. Say what God says. The enemy wants you to speak doubt. He'll do everything he can to try and get you to speak out in doubt. So many people, they say the wrong things over their life. They say how things look. They call things that are the way they are. They speak defeat and failure and sickness and lack. They say all these things. Or they keep talking about their difficulties. Let me tell you, the devil cannot win the fight of faith unless he can get you to agree with him. So he'll try and use symptoms and circumstances to try and discourage you and cause you to doubt. And he wants you to speak that doubt out. That's what the scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:14. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. The Passion Bible says we must cling in faith to all we know to be true. You've got to hold on to your confession. When you start declaring, thank you, Lord, that you meet all my needs. My God supplies all my needs. The enemy's going to try and stop you from saying that. He doesn't want you walking around saying, my God meets my needs. He wants you walking around saying, oh, I'm never going to make it. I'm so broke. I never can pay my bills. That's what he wants you saying. You've got to hold fast to that confession of faith. That's where the fight comes in. Number three, faith is fully convinced. If you're going to win the fight of faith, you've got to be fully convinced. The Bible says this about Abraham. It says in Romans 4:21, it says Abraham was fully convinced that what God promised, he was able to perform. Paul said this, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, I run thus, not with uncertainty. He said, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. He said, I don't run with uncertainty. If you want to win the faith fight, you've got to be fully convinced that God's word is true. You will never obtain a lasting victory if you fight with uncertainty. If you're uncertain, the devil's going to talk you out of it. Uncertainty opens the door to doubt and to unbelief, and that'll rob you of God's blessings. You've got to get rid of uncertainty and become fully convinced. How do you become certain? Pastor Steve, how do I become fully convinced? I'm glad you asked me. By building your faith on the word of God. The more that you hear God's word, the more that you declare God's word, the more that you meditate on God's word, you will build your faith and you'll come to a place where you are fully convinced, where you are certain. Are you with me? See, then when your faith gets challenged and you're fully convinced, you've built your faith, you'll be like a bulldog that won't let go. But if the devil can keep you looking at how things look and what your eyes see and the circumstances and talking about the problem, he can defeat you. He will beat you in the fight of faith. But if you stay in faith and you hold fast to the word of God and you keep speaking the promises of God, you will win the fight of faith. Number four, if you're going to win the fight of faith, you've got to understand that faith rests in peace. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:3, those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. Do you know, when you really believe the word of God, you will have rest. You will have peace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 from the Contemporary Bible says, only people who have faith will enter this place of rest. Now, if you're going to win the fight of faith, you've got to come to a place of rest. What does that mean? You've got to come to a place where you're in peace, where you know God is faithful. You're at peace. You're at rest. You prove. See, when you are at rest and you're at peace, you're proving to God that you really trust him. You're really acting in faith. When the people of Israel came out of slavery in Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land, the Bible says Pharaoh changed his mind and he came chasing after them. And they came to a dead end at the Red Sea. They had nowhere to go. I mean, it looked impossible. There was a Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. But instead of staying in faith, knowing God had delivered them before and God will do it again, they started getting upset and afraid. They started complaining. Oh, maybe we should go back to slavery in Egypt. And Moses, why did you bring us here to die? It's better to serve the Egyptians than die out in the wilderness. Moses knew. He had to get them out of that negative mentality or they were going to be defeated. I love what Moses told them. In Exodus 14, verse 13, he said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more again forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Do you know that if you want God to fight for you, you've got to learn how to stay at rest. You've got to learn how to hold your peace. You've got to learn how to stay calm. That is such a powerful principle, family. God will fight your battles if you can come to a place of rest and peace. Rest. The word rest means to have ease, relaxation, freedom from strain, a support on which things can be put. It means to have no worry, no stress, no negativity, no complaining, no anxiety, no fear. That's what rest means. That's what Jesus spoke so much about, not worrying. The scriptures tell us in Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. And if you do this, what will happen? You'll experience peace. You'll experience rest. If you will refuse to worry, but rather ask God, the Bible says you'll experience peace, which is more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Are you getting this today? That when you really are at peace and rest, you're not worrying. You're not lying awake at night worrying how it's going to happen. You can't win this fight of faith by worrying. You've got to keep hearing God's word, speaking God's word until you come to a place where you're at peace, you're at rest. You might have a storm going on around you, but you have peace in your heart. You know God's fighting your battle. You know God's on your side. You know God's bringing you through. And that's what it means to win the fight of faith, family. Number five, we're almost done here. Number five, if you want to win this fight of faith and receive that which you believe. How many of you right now, there's something you believe in God for in your life? Wave your hand. If there's something that you believe in God for, hold your hand up. Everybody, if you want to win that fight of faith, you want to see that promise come to pass. Number five, faith keeps standing. Faith keeps standing. Faith keeps standing. Faith keeps standing. Hebrews 10, verse 35 says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you've done the will of God, if you have endurance, you receive the promise. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Listen, God doesn't want us to draw back in our faith. If you're going to win the fight of faith, you have to have endurance. You don't quit. Keep on standing. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 12, don't let your hearts grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who have fully received what God promised them because of their faith, their strong faith, and their patient endurance. Abraham waited patiently in faith and succeeded in seeing the promise fulfilled. You know that Abraham trusted God for 25 years, and he finally had that promised son. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is telling us you're in a spiritual battle. There's a fight of faith. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. What do you do when you've done all you know to do to stand? Stand therefore. When you've done all you know to stand, what do you do? Keep on standing. Pastor Steve, I've been believing and standing. I've been believing God, standing in faith. What do I do? Keep on believing. Keep on standing. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, keep on standing. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is talking about the spiritual warfare we're in. It's revealing we got an enemy. And if we want to win the fight of faith, we've got to put on God's armor. We've got to keep standing in faith. We've got to keep standing on the word of God. Keep standing on the promises of God. Amen. If it says in verse 13, stand your ground on the evil day. And having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place, stand therefore, hold your ground, don't give up. It says in verse 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you'll be fully prepared. Again, we see the importance of staying in peace, importance of staying in rest. In addition to this, hold up the shield of faith. My screen just went out. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the enemy. Hold up the shield of faith. And the New King James Bible says, above all, take the shield of faith. You see, faith is the key to overcoming the attack of the enemy. Your faith is like a wraparound shield. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God is your sword. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Let me tell you, praying in the Spirit and speaking the Word of God are two very powerful weapons God's given us to win this faith fight. And that's what I do. My friend I was telling you about, that minister who's had all this difficulty, praise God, he's 90% through it. I said, what have you been doing? He said, I speak the Word of God. I confess the Word of God. I confess the Scriptures every day, and I pray in the Spirit. That's what I do. I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues, and I stand on God's Word. I speak the Word of God, family. That's a mighty weapon God has given you. Let me tell you, supernatural things happen when you start praying in the Spirit and you start standing and declaring the Word of God. Supernatural things happen. God's Word is a mighty weapon for us. That's how Jesus overcame the devil. How many of you know when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. How many of you know what Jesus said? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you know Jesus was quoting the Word of God? Do you know Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3? He was quoting the Word of God. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you know that Jesus has studied the Scriptures, and when the enemy came to try and tempt him, Jesus overcame him with the Word of God. The devil took Jesus up on a high mountain, and he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Do you know the devil knows the Bible? Do you know the devil can quote Scriptures to you? That's why you've got to be prepared to be able to know what God's Word says. Because does the Bible say that? Does the Bible say that he'll catch you up? The angels will. Does the Bible say that? Yes, it does. In Psalm 91, it does say that. But that doesn't mean we should jump off. That doesn't mean we should go up to the top of the Empire State Building and say, Jesus, whew! That doesn't mean that, does it? Jesus replied. What did he say? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Do you know Jesus was quoting the Bible? He was quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. He was using the Word of God. The devil took him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, I will give it all to you if you fall down and worship me. What did Jesus say? Get out of here, Satan. The Scriptures say you must worship the Lord and only serve him. Do you know Jesus was quoting the Scriptures? Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. You shall serve the Lord and serve him only. Jesus overcame the enemy's attack with God's Word. And we're going to do the same. That's why it's so important for you to know what God's Word says. You've got to know the promises that are contained in the Word of God. The Bible says in Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you know that there are Christians who are being destroyed? They're losing out things that God wants for them because they don't know. Here's my question. What Scriptures are you standing on? What Scriptures are you believing God for? It's so easy today with the internet. Like I said, you can find Scriptures for whatever situation you're in. You just Google. Now, what does the Bible say about God meeting my needs? You have a whole bunch of Scriptures. What does the Bible say about God healing me? What does the Scripture say about overcoming fear? I mean, it's at the touch of a button. You can get those Scriptures, and then you start learning them and declaring them and standing on them till you come to a place you don't need to go on the internet. The Scriptures are down in your heart. You know them. You can stand on God's Word for yourself. Are you getting something out of this today, Tom? Are you facing a financial challenge? Here's a Scripture for you. Here's a promise from God for you. Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what I say. Lord, I thank you. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Look at the bank account. Oh, I still need another $5,000. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what I do. That's what we do. We declare every need in the church is met. Every bill is paid. We've got money in the bank more than enough in the name of Jesus. Is it always that way with the eyes? No, but we don't focus on that. We focus on what God says. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. That's what I focus on. Lord, you're my best friend, my shepherd. Thank you. I always have more than enough. Are you facing a health challenge? Here's a scripture for you. 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes you were healed. Matthew 8:17. He took our sicknesses. He removed our diseases. Psalm 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Thank you, Lord, by your stripes I was healed. Thank you, Lord, you yourself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, and thank you, Lord, I don't forget your benefits, you forgive all my iniquities, you heal all my diseases. So you can either focus on that and say that, or you can focus on what your eyes tell you. Oh, I don't have enough. I don't know how we're going to make it. Oh, I feel so sick. Oh, my back's so sore. Oh, I tell you right now, I think I'm going to die. I'm dying. I'm sure I'm dying. You got a choice. There's a promise in the Word of God for every situation you'll ever face in your life. And if you'll take that promise and believe it and stand upon it and declare it in faith, that promise of God will become a reality and it'll change your circumstances. But you see, you can know the promise, but it won't benefit you if you don't mix faith with it. The Bible says about the children of Israel in Hebrews 4, it says that the gospel was preached to them. It was preached to us, it was preached to us as well as to them. But the word they heard didn't profit them because they didn't mix faith with it. It wasn't those who heard it didn't mix faith. Do you know that you can sit here, one person can hear what I'm saying, Bruce can sit here, and another person can hear, they can both hear the same thing, but what matters is whether you mix faith with what is heard. You can know the promise, and yet it still not become real if you don't mix faith with the promise. You can sit here and hear me say, my God will supply all your needs according to his glory, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can hear that. And you can go out of here and say, that's nice, wonderful. And then don't do nothing about it. It won't change your life one bit. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to stand on that promise, my God. I believe my God supplies all my needs. And you can go out of here this week and you can declare every day, thank you, Lord. My God is supplying all my needs. And you'll see supernatural things happen in your life. That's called the fight of faith. The Passion Bible says that the promises of God didn't benefit them because they didn't join their faith with the Word. Look at that. They didn't join their faith with the Word. Say, I'm joining my faith with the Word. Say, I'm joining my faith with God's Word. Number six, I'm almost done, almost done. Number six, if you're going to win the fight of faith, you've got to realize faith stays joyful. Faith keeps its joy. James 1 verse 2, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulty, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. When it looks like I'm facing nothing but problems, God says, see it as an opportunity to experience great joy. For you know, when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And when your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and there is nothing lacking. The Bible says, man, when you have problems, just look at it as an opportunity to be joyful, knowing that God is on your side, knowing that there's no testimony without a test. There's no victory without a battle, family. Amen? My screen just went out again. We're down to the last point here, right? Right? Number seven, correct? Point number seven here. We got it back up for me? Run it up, run it up. Thank you, Miguel. What page am I on? Thank you so much. Now let me tell you, number seven. Hold on. I want to go back to number six. What was it? Faith stays joyful. Okay. Number seven is this. Faith praises God before it sees the victory. The Bible says about Abraham, Romans 4 verse 20. It says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew even stronger, and he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. Do you know the Bible is filled with stories of people who had great victories because they praised God before it even happened. Like in 2 Chronicles 20, when King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were surrounded by three armies, came to destroy them. And the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat, he put the singers out in the front of the army. They were singing, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever." And the Bible says that God gave them the victory. Their enemies became confused, and the enemies killed one another. God delivered them, but they praised God before it happened. We see again when Paul and Silas were thrown into jail in Acts chapter 16. The Bible says they sang praises to God at the midnight hour. And the Bible says that the prison shook and all the jail cells flew open. The chains fell off as they were giving praise unto God. I want to tell you, family, that if you want to see victory in the fight of faith, you've got to be willing to praise God before you see the victory, because anybody can give God praise after you see the victory, but you've got to give God praise before you see it. That's what Abraham did. He praised God before it happened. He said, "Thank you, Lord, that I am the father of many nations. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true." You've got to say, "Lord, I want to praise you. I want to thank you for healing me. I want to thank you for meeting my needs. I want to thank you for giving me the victory. I want to thank you for bringing the right person in my life. I want to thank you for restoring my family. I want to thank you, Lord, for turning this situation around. I want to just give you praise, Lord. I want to just give you honor." That's the key, family. You praise God before you see the victory. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give God a hand of praise right now. Give him praise right now. Find page 34 for me. Find page 34, the last page. They're not in order. Let me tell you, if you keep praising God, go back to that one. If you keep praising God, you'll win this fight of faith. If you keep your focus on God's word and don't be moved by what you see, if you keep speaking God's word in faith, let me tell you, if you'll be fully convinced and not let anything or anybody discourage you from standing on the promise of God, if you'll rest in faith and stay in peace and refuse to worry, let me tell you, when you've done all you know to do to keep standing and you stay joyful and you see it as an opportunity for joy because you know the outcome, you know there's no test without a testimony. I want to tell you, there's no victory without a fight. If you keep on giving God praise, no matter how impossible it looks, you will win this fight of faith. You will receive everything God promised you. You will become everything God destined you to be in the name of Jesus. I declare that. Do you believe that today? Come on, just lift your hands and say, "Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And I refuse to be moved by how things look. But I believe that every promise that you've given will come to pass in my life in the name of Jesus." Say, "Lord, I give you praise in advance. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all my needs. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for giving me the victory. Thank you, Lord, you're with me. You're guiding me. You're protecting me in Jesus' mighty name." So I will not be discouraged. I will be joyful no matter what comes against me in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, you've got to learn how to laugh at the devil. You've got to learn how to laugh at the devil. Do you know the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs at his enemy? When the devil comes and tells you, it's never going to happen, you've got to say, "Ha, ha, ha, devil, the joke's on you. The word of God is true. I believe what God said is true. My God will meet all my needs. You're never going to get healed. Ha, 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 devil, what a joke you are. The word of God, I believe God's word rather than you." The Bible says God laughs at the devil. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things you can do is imagine that a four-year-old came up to me, a little four-year-old. Imagine my grandson Roman, three, said, came up, "Pops, I'm gonna beat you up. I'm gonna smash you. We're gonna have a fight like Muhammad Ali there, and I'm gonna beat you up." You know what? I'd be like, "Ha ha 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 ha." It wouldn't bother me too much. I wouldn't be at home worrying. "Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm worried Roman's gonna come and gonna beat the batar out of me." It's not a threat. You gotta realize the enemy is really not a threat to you. He's a defeated foe. He's just a deceiver. If he can deceive you into agreeing with him, if he can deceive you into having doubt, then he can win. But if he can't get you to doubt, if you keep believing God, you keep standing on the word, he cannot defeat you. Amen? I want you to bow your head one more time, and I want to pray right now. Father, I pray for every person who's in this place today. Lord, I know not one person is here by any accident today, but they're here by your divine hand. And I pray, Father, whatever each person may be facing in their life, that they may be in some kind of fight of faith. in their health or in their finances or in their family or their job, whatever it is. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for giving them victory. I thank you, Lord, that you are with them. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. And I thank you that every promise you've given them, it shall come to pass. I join my faith together with them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing miracles. I thank you for supplying needs. I thank you for healing. I thank you, Lord, for delivering. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And right now, while we have our heads bowed and we have our eyes closed, I want to pray especially if there's anyone here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with God today. I'm not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? You know for sure you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is if you died today, are you sure of where you would spend eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure. You can be certain. You can know. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right and well between you and God. You can walk out of here today knowing that every sin, every mistake you've ever made in your life, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can walk out of here today knowing that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray right now. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you sit, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is well, all is right with me and the Lord. Won't you, Pastor Steve, pray for me too? If you want to be included in this prayer I'm about to pray, then I ask you right now, please, to just quickly slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up right now. Now, here's my hand. Pastor Steve, just lift it up. Pray for me. Include me. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Lift your hand right now, dear friend. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Praise God. See anybody? You didn't. All right. I didn't see any hands raised. All right. Look up at me for a moment, if you would. Did you get something out of this today? Just get something out of it? How many of you feel like I hope your faith was strengthened today to keep on trusting and standing on God's promise and see victory? Amen? Amen. My wife's going to share this morning as we get ready to give.
My faith is strengthened. Amen.
Glad to hear it.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. That's the way I... That's the way to do it, is to just sit and hear the word of God until your faith just starts to be strengthened, and you can face any challenge. Amen. We're going to take a time right now. We have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. Todd's my guy when it comes to this. He gets happy when we have an opportunity to give. But there are envelopes on the seats right where you're sitting, and I just want to share three verses with you. As we give. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Isn't that a powerful scripture? You know, sometimes people they can't tie the blessings. They always think the blessings are spiritual and it's all that. But it says that very clearly, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. And you know, many times, we think if we want to get ahead in life, we're going to have to work harder. And you know, God's all for hard work. The hand of the diligent makes rich, the Bible says. So hard work is good. But if that's what you're depending on to get ahead, you're falling short of what God has for you. because God wants to prosper you and he wants to add some super to your natural, right? So working hard is good, but the Bible says he's going to, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. So we got to let the word of God do in our lives what we can't do by ourselves, right? And you know that there, just as Pastor Steve said, there is a fight to faith even in the area of our finances, right? And so maybe we are faithful and we give and we tithe, but you still got to use your faith. You got to believe God. You know what the Word of God says. So we got to believe what the Word of God says. We got to act on the Word of God. And then we got to speak like it's true. Amen? And if we do that, that's when we activate the promise of God in our life. That's the fight of faith. So, for instance, the Bible says in Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be food in my house, says the Lord, and try me now in this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. So there's what God says. He says, bring all the tithe in the storehouse and watch and see what I'll do. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour blessing upon you that you won't even have room enough for. Now, you may go as far as to act on what the word says and say, well, I believe God wants me to tithe, and you go ahead and you do that. That's the first step. But that's not the only step. The first step is acting in faith, but then you've got to start speaking in line with that. You can't do that and expect to have the blessings of God poured on you if you walk out of here and the first thing you say to your wife when you get in the car is, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know what we're going to do. If you talk like that, you're not activating your faith in this area. You're not going to see everything that God has for you. It's the same in Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give and you will receive. Say that. Say, if I give, I will receive. He said this. He said, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. I mean, he's trying to make a point here. He could just say, when you give, you will receive. But he says, I'm telling you, you won't just receive what you gave. You're going to receive more than you gave. And then he goes to describe. He says, there's going to be an abundance that will be given to you. And it says, running over, poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So that's an incredible promise. And we may be givers. You may be a generous person. You may be, but activate your faith to see that poured out blessing in your life. Amen. And so today as we come to give, let's join, mix faith with the word of God as we give, right? Hold your offering in your hand right now. Excuse me. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give. We appreciate those who give online through the week. It's such a blessing to our church. Thank you to our faithful supporters. Pastor Steve, come and just pray over the givers. I'm going to cough.
All right. Pastor Dylan and I, were fighting the fight of faith in our health this week. I got the sniffles about a day or two I was over, then she got it. But let me tell you, I'm good now. Don't worry, I'm not contagious. I'm good now. Nothing keeps me from church, man. You'll have to have me strapped to an iron lung to keep me from coming to church. I'll get it. You have to push me in my wheelchair, but I wouldn't stop coming. So hold that in your hand right now. We're going to trust the Lord. Say this, Father, I thank you that it is your will to bless and prosper me. You said the blessing of the Lord makes one rich without painful toil. Thank you, Father, that your blessing on my life is causing me to have wealth and be blessed. And Lord, I honor you today with the tithe. I am grateful and I acknowledge every good thing in my life is from you, Lord. Thank you for blessing me. As I say this, as I tithe today, say I honor you, Lord. As I give today, say I give to you, Lord. Thank you that the windows of heaven are open above me. Come on, say thank you, Lord. You're pouring blessings upon me. Blessings are chasing after me. In the name of Jesus, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything I put my hand to, God blesses it. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all of my needs in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Say, as I give, thank you, Lord, is being given back to me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go right ahead. That's what my wife was saying, is that it's good to work hard. The Bible says we should work hard. But listen, God wants to bless you beyond what just your hard work. He wants to bless you supernaturally. Amen? And that's what we're trusting God for, is supernatural blessing. This is our last week to get behind the Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. We are blessing and helping by giving gifts to children that don't have them. And we have a few boxes left out there in the lobby, so that what they need to do, because I don't know how this works, they grab the box in the lobby, and then they fill it up with toys. Is there a list inside of what to get? There's a list on the counter of what to get. Then they bring the box back next week or by next Sunday, and we're going to distribute them to a number of different children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we don't have to worry. We can be at peace. We can be at rest because we know, Lord, you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You are faithful. You're the God who takes care of us, Lord. And I want to just thank you, Father, as we go out of here today. Thank you for your angels that encamp about us this week and protect us. Thank you for your provision this week. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunities to reach out and to share Jesus and share the good news with other people this week, that we invite and bring other people with us to church. Lord, just thank you that we are expecting this week to see your goodness and your faithfulness. And we're so grateful, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? What are you going to sing out with? Gone. How many of you are so glad that your sin is gone, that you've been forgiven, that you've been made the righteousness of God? How many of you are glad you're a child of God? Come on, as we go, stand and sing it with us as we leave today.